Thank you for coming out today. I'm taking this opportunity to try and update you on Columbia's crime prevention strategies. I'm going to try and provide you sort of a big picture, and Councilwoman Laura Nauzer is going to give you some of her excellent ideas for strategies on dealing with our youth as far as the crime situation is concerned. Chief Burton and Bill Watkins, our city manager, are both here to answer questions. So if you have questions at the end, please feel free to ask them. People of Columbia are justifiably concerned about crime, but I point out that all council members and the administration share that concern and are actively addressing the crime problem in Columbia. Crime affects the quality of life. No one wants to be a victim of crime, and fear of crime can prevent people from enjoying everyday life. It can be a health issue by preventing people from getting out and being active. It can be an economic development issue. Everyone wants to live in a low-crime community. And it seems like in Columbia that most crimes are reported every day in the media, oftentimes quite sensationally. But everyday crime prevention efforts seem to get little media attention. So people need to be informed of what your city is doing to try and prevent crime. I think there is a general impression among many of our citizens that crime is rampant, that there is too much crime. That can be without question. But in fact, violent crimes decreased by more than one-third in 2008 from 2007. They dropped from 617 to 392. On the other hand, property crimes increased about 18% from 3,323 to 3,951. Turns out that there were fewer auto thefts, but more burglaries and larcenies. Now, these are actually small numbers when compared to our population of nearly 100,000. And many crimes are actually between criminals. And the chances of an innocent Columbia citizen being a victim of a crime are really quite low. But there is no acceptable rate of crime except zero. But the simple fact is that that is an impossibility. Crime is never going to be totally wiped out. Now, we have questions as to why we have this crime in Columbia. And there are lots of speculative answers to that. One of them is the population increase. Columbia's had a steady population increase, and there tends to be an increase in crime with an increase in population. And we have reached that basic magical number of a 100,000 population. People discuss the economy and unemployment, yet Columbia has a relatively low unemployment rate and is weathering the downturn much more successfully than most cities. Our economy has remained reasonably steady. There's the uneven distribution of wealth where you have poor neighborhoods, and we know that they experience the highest crime rates. There's no question that drugs are a significant factor in connection with the increase in crime. There is a discussion of whether or not we have gangs, and is that a factor in the increase in crime? We have a steady stream of released felons from our prisons that come to Columbia and start, and that may be part of the issue. We also have issues with respect to school dropout and truancy. And we know that there is a high proportion of crimes among the youth of Columbia. And some people blame the crime rate increase on the I-70 proximity and the proximity to Kansas City and St. Louis. Now, all of those probably each contribute to the issue that we have with respect to crime. So what are our strategies to prevent crime? Well, the most common demand that I hear is that we should have more police. And I think Chief will discuss that with you, ask him about what the issues are with respect to more police. But we are attempting to provide an adequate, well-trained and equipped and efficient police department that has the community's confidence. Our police department is budgeted for 156 sworn officers. Those are the officers with the powers to make arrests. This police department is supported by working closely with the Boone County Sheriff, University Police Department, and when needed, with other public safety officers from other area cities, the counties, and the Highway Patrol, and even federal agencies. So it has the ability to expand when necessary. When it comes to budget support, the 2009 city budget included about $19,100,000 from general revenue fund, which was up 4.4% from the previous year. That was the largest expenditure from the general revenue fund except for public works. It was significantly larger than the fire department, which is $14,200,000. We've made capital investments with respect to the police department. As you know, in the not-so-distant future, we completed a complete remodeling of the police building. We are building a new police training facility. We've outfitted the police with tasers, or as we all know, that has created a bit of a stir, but it is something that we have done. As far as the organization is concerned, we've had good police leadership, but we recently hired a new police chief who comes from the outside and is bringing fresh ideas. We established a street crimes unit as a continuation of a multi-agency task force that responded to significant rise in violent crime, mainly drug-related shooting and armed robberies. We focused on hot spots of drug activity or tracking down career criminals, and the council approved $400,000 just for this particular effort. We must congratulate the police department for its high clearance rate. In other words, this is not a good place to commit a crime because the clearance rate is much more successful here than it is on a nationwide basis. And of course, we all read, and this is one place where we did get good publicity, the recent arrest of 16 cutthroat gang members and associates for drug trafficking conspiracies, drive-by shooting, and illegal firearms. The federal prosecutors have filed 11 new charges against the members of that group. We've hired and worked with an outside consultant who has totally revised the internal complaint procedure of the police department. And it's pretty clear that we're about to establish a citizens review board after an impartial citizens committee made that recommendation. We've improved the work by beat officers and pushing for vigilant and persistent work and detective work. We're pushing for more citizens education and outreach to help prevent crime. This is provided by the Community Services Unit. And we've got regular coordinated meetings with the police chief, the sheriff, the judge, the university police chief, and the state highway patrol, and I believe the FBI is involved. We have new acts by our new police chief. He is aiming the street crimes unit at hot spots. Right now, the Derby Ridge area and the Indian Hill neighborhoods. There's a new six-member downtown unit, including mounted foot and bicycle patrol, and it focuses on everything from vagrancy and graffiti to underage drinking. Around-the-clock coverage is provided, and the idea is to bring the family atmosphere back to the downtown. And we're working with the business owners to prevent excessive drinking that leads to fights and a larger police presence. And with the school out, the chief is redirecting the school resource officers, wouldn't come to me, the school resource officers to other patrol assignments, getting more police out on the street during the summertime. We've increased safety in the parks and recreation areas by joint work with the community services area. And the chief is out in the community and he's listening, reviewing the organization and resources. And we are expecting him to bring recommendations to the council for additional changes. We're also looking at what we can do to hire more police. We're making application under the Stimulus Act, under the COPS provision of the Act, to hire more police. And I'm certainly pushing for the addition of a traffic unit that would add more police and add to the eyes and ears of the police department. We've also done such things as trying to increase the eyes and the ears of the police department to, in effect, get more police on the street or make the police on the street more effective by such things as red light cameras. The Crime Stoppers program is being pushed, and Neighborhood Watch. Now, we need to attack the root of crime as well as to provide the police. And we know that a disproportionate amount of crime is from youth. And there have been numerous attempts to provide youth programs through Parks and Recreation. I have here a 7-page document that lists the Parks and Recreation programs that are made available to youth. We also know that in the private sector, the nonprofit sector, and in the faith-based sector, there are a great many programs that are available for the youth, everything from mentoring to art to activity. But in addition, we need to attack such issues as truancy and unsupervised late-night roaming of youth. And I have here with me Councilwoman Laura Nauzer, who has taken a serious and creative interest in the issues of youth and crime and has come up with some innovative approaches. And I've asked her to talk to you about those. Laura?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you all for coming today to talk about this important issue of crime. If you recall, back in 2007, we had a spike in violent crimes, and at that time I had noticed there was a disproportionate amount of younger people involved in those crimes. While they may not have been teenagers, they were in their late teen years, early 20s, and those individuals did not start their life of crime at that age. They started at a much younger age. That prompted me to do some research onto what other communities have been doing to address some of the issues of crime in their communities. Back in April of 2008, I submitted a policy paper to my fellow council members outlining 28 ideas that I had come up with to start to address some of our youth crime issues. Not going to go through all of those 28 recommendations, I would like to just focus on a couple of the issues that I have been working on recently. You know, I'm sure you have heard that I've been working on the curfew. That has been a longer process than I had realized. It is part of an enforcement objective, but I'm also wanting it to be more of a prevention and intervention model so that when we pick up a youth on our streets for violating a curfew, that those children are diverted into appropriate programs to help deter them from future criminal or unwarranted behavior. So that has been an ongoing process. One of the key things for a curfew to work has to be community acceptance. So I am in the process of meeting with organizations throughout the community and interested parties to get their ideas and input into what they feel would be an acceptable curfew policy and work on appropriate diversion programs. Another idea that I've been working on is called a consequences manual. And I need to point out that I have not been working on this issue alone. I've been working very closely with Commissioner Karen Miller of the county. Her and I have been working on these issues for the past year, so this is not just a city issue. We are working jointly, again, with the county because these issues affect all of us here in Boone County. Consequences manual is an idea that was derived from the prosecuting attorney down in Miami-Dade County, Florida. wherein they teach children and tell children the consequences of their serious actions. Children know what happens to them when they get in trouble at school. Hopefully they have boundaries at home. A consequences manual discusses things such as that we've seen as the sexting on telephones. We have the internet rules now where you send harassing messages. Children need to be advised of these serious law violations that they happen to perpetrate as an innocent child. Most of them do not know these laws, as well as their parents. So a consequences manual is aimed at informing our children and the people in our community, because I firmly believe that knowledge is power. As you also know, I think another issue that I've been working on lately has come up is the graffiti ordinance. While that is aimed at vandalism, I believe that it is a sign of illicit activity. Some may call it art. I believe that it is a message board for people in our community that want to perpetrate criminal activities. So that is another issue that I have been working on. And again, rather than go through all of my 28 ideas, I have put together my list from in April of 2008 and updated all of the initiatives that we have been working on or successfully implemented. And I will have to say that I'm quite impressed, because we have probably worked through about a third of my list. And I wanted to say that the children of our community are our future, and we really need to start focusing on preventing children from getting involved in the criminal system. We had 3,000 referrals to the juvenile office back in 2007. While that's not 3,000 kids getting into trouble, one child can, you know, perpetrate several referrals, but that could be indicative of where our future is leading if we do not intercede now before this gets out of control. My goal is to reduce our referral rates and reduce the number of youth arrests in our community. Because once a child is introduced into the juvenile youth system, they have a greater likelihood of continuing on that path of criminal activity. So that is my ultimate goal. I think with the city and the county cooperation, I think that we're on the right path. And I thank you all for coming to hear some of the progress that we are making.
Thank you very much, Laura. I think what Laura says illustrates a very significant point, that when it comes to the crime issue, the police are very, very important. There's no question about that. But that is only a part of the approach that you must take in order to reduce crime in your community. Crime comes from many basic reasons, and it runs everything from what happens inside families to whether the kids go to school, what their support is, and even the economy, the issues that relate to drugs, which they're very serious issues, of course. And so we've got to take a multifaceted approach. And one of the approaches, of course, is to provide everything that we possibly can to make people live a quality life in order that they'll be wanting to live that kind of life instead of a life of crime. But nevertheless, the police are a very, very important part of it, and I've kind of stressed the policing aspect of it, as Laura stressed her attempts with respect to working with the youth on a preventative basis. And it's only through that cooperative, hardworking system, some very direct, some quite indirect toward the crime, that we'll be able to make significant progress here in Columbia. Now, with that, I'm ready to conclude, but if you have some questions of the chief or the city manager, they are here. And in addition to that, the task force is here. Let's see, I didn't realize this, but the street crimes unit is here, and the Derby Ridge unit is here, and so they'd be happy to answer your questions as well. So if you have questions, please feel free to ask any of us. I guess we've... Oh, excuse me.
Brian Lewis, KMUA News. What is...
increase in gang activity? Well, I think I'm going to let the chief talk about that. That, of course, carries with the questions about what is a gang and whether there is a gang activity. And I think these are really technical kinds of things for the police chief to address.
If I understand your question, you're asking how do these approaches that we take relate to the identification or eradication of gang activity in Columbia. It's very difficult sometimes to determine when a crime is gang-related or it's just committed by someone who says they're a gang member. So all of those efforts, the street crimes unit, the downtown unit, these are police officers that are trained to recognize gang activity. But what we're really after is reducing crime in general, whether it's committed by a gang member or someone who just thinks they're a gang member. Does that answer your question? Of course there is. There are people, and I don't mean to minimize it, because if they think they're a gang member, they're every bit as dangerous or can be every bit as dangerous as someone who is from a gang that we all recognize from Los Angeles or Chicago. In fact, a lot of times they're a lot more dangerous because they tend to be younger and they tend to be braver when it comes to engaging in activities, particularly the violent crimes. So I think... while there's identified gangs out there that are probably in Columbia, there are a lot of quasi-gang members out there that are just as dangerous.
Chief Mark Slavitt with KRCG News. Chief, we've been talking about the youth here in Columbia. Would you say the youth is our biggest problem with crime? Would you agree with that?
I don't know that it's the biggest crime, but it is a significant contributing factor to the workload of the police department. We tend to have more issues where a large number of officers are required to respond when youth are involved. And by youth, I'm talking anywhere from 16 to 21 years of age. It seems like the younger they get, the more issues that we have to respond to, and with multiple officers, which significantly depletes our resources.
Now, we've talked about programs to try to get these kids in, on the right path, get them off the streets and things like that. What can the average citizen do to maybe help with the youth crime problem in Columbia?
I think that the average citizen needs to recognize that kids are going to be kids. Three kids standing on the corner doesn't necessarily indicate a crime problem. But three kids that are starting to get out of hand or are out late at night, things like that, I'll give you an example of what I as a citizen would do. If I lived next door to you and your kids were out at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'd be getting a phone call from me. And I think that's where it starts. That's not a criminal issue there. That's an issue that we need to address as parents and as responsible citizens.
Good morning, Mayor, Chief. Valerie Livingston, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club. This is probably more of a statement than it is a question, but of course, the Boys and Girls Club mentors at-risk youth from ages 6 to 18 before and after school up until 8 o'clock at night. So we are here and available and want to do our part in the community to help mentor these youth. Crime prevention is a big part of the character and leadership training that we mentor our youth. And if there's anything that we can do, we have about 120 youth enrolled, which at this point is our facility capacity. But of course, we are looking to the future to expand and be able to incorporate 400 or 500 youth into our program and do our part to support the city. And if there's anything that we can do to help with your programming or any meetings that we can attend, we're more than willing to do so.
Thanks, Valerie. I think we are going to set up across the street. If there are no more questions,
Jessica Holly from KBIA News. I have two questions. How have the different types of crime changed throughout the years?
Well, I think what we're seeing over the past 2 years is an increase in property crimes and a decrease in the violent crimes, as the mayor stated. That can be construed as a good thing unless you've been a victim of one of those property crimes. So, you know, it's a balancing act, and like the mayor stated, several things drive that. Sometimes it's the economy. You heard him make reference to the school resource officers being put back on the street during the summer. We know we're going to be busier in the summer. There's more people, more kids on the street during the summer. Instead of in school, they're out on the streets. So we wanted to put the cops where the kids were. And so that's kind of the method to our madness there. But there's so many factors that I couldn't really answer your question accurately about one or two things that are going to drive, whether it's property crimes or violent crimes that we're dealing with.
And then my second question is, where are we seeing different crimes happening in different areas of the city?
I think that you probably do, but again, it's going to be hit and miss. If you had a, for instance, a group of kids who were breaking into cars in a particular neighborhood, it might appear there's a concentration there. One of the things that we're about ready to go live with is a internet-based program where citizens can actually go online and look at the crime in their neighborhoods. And we're about ready to go live, and we're going to use it as an analytical tool in-house to determine hotspots where the street crimes unit can be utilized, where the downtown officers can know where their issues are. And so very short term, we'll be moving with that, and we'll make that information available to you when it happens.
Thank you.
I have one more for Councilwoman Mauser. Laura, earlier you talked about a curfew and the acceptance of that curfew. What are you, over the past year that you've been working on this, what kind of input and feedback are you getting on the acceptance of a curfew in Columbia?
By and large, I have been receiving very positive response on the curfew as far as the ordinance. I think there's some concern from certain some individuals about how the curfew will be implemented, and that's really where I'm wanting to focus. My ultimate goal is to, when the curfew ordinance, should it come back before the council, not to have a room full of people who are opposing the curfew. And that's my ultimate goal. And so by and large, I've been receiving a lot of positive feedback. And I'm just going to make another comment regarding a couple things. As you know, we're all infamous on the city council for getting out at late in the evenings. And I want to say that crime, individuals have to take responsibility themselves, too, as well as the city and the police department. And that's being proactive. Many times when I've come home late at night after council meetings, I'm amazed at how many people have their garage doors open late at night. A lot of criminals are crimes of opportunity. So citizens have to take some responsibility themselves to make sure that their homes are properly, you know, their garage doors are shut, that their car doors are locked, you know, that they don't have obstructions in front of their windows. And I know the police department is very, you know, proactive in that and would gladly help anybody look at their property to make sure that it is, you know, provide a safe environment for you. And so, again, please take a proactive measure as a citizen to alleviate your possibility of becoming a victim of crime.
Are there other questions? Apparently not. So thank you very much for coming. Again, I think Valerie Livingston pointed out something very important, and that is the possibilities for youth in the many, many services that are provided by the city, the private sector, the not-for-profit sector, and the faith-based sector. The program that she discussed is an excellent, excellent program. I've been out and seen it, and it surely has made a difference in the lives of many, many youths. And one of the things that citizens can do is to get involved with these programs. They can become a mentor through the Boys and Girls Club, through the, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, the Boys and Girls Club. They can work with the Boys and Girls Club. They can work with any number of organizations. And so one of the best things that people can do in this community to prevent crime is to get up and become a part of the active community that is trying to help the youth of this community. So, but with that, unless there are no more questions, just bring it to a close. So thank you. I think maybe there is a question. Maybe I kept that open just a little too long.
Sorry, Mayor. Joe Meyer with the Tribune. Just wanted to ask, do you think Columbia has a crime problem, or is this just always an issue that seems to be on people's minds? What's kind of the thinking?
Well, I think Columbia does have a crime problem. I think any crime is a crime problem. And so we take it seriously, and we're trying all sorts of strategies to try and reduce it and prevent it. Yes, the chief would like to make another comment.
I've only been here 60 days, but I think there's something I'd like to say. What I have noticed about the Columbia Police Department over the past couple of months, it is one of the best educated, one of the best motivated police departments that I've ever been associated with. And the history here has been that the police department has the best of everything. I think they would agree with me, the officers in the room would agree with me, that they don't ask for much from our city council that they don't get. We're one of the best equipped, and I've told my folks, you know, there'd be police departments across the country that are jealous of the kind of equipment we have here. And of course, we want that to continue, because I think when those officers have the proper equipment to work with, they're happier in their jobs, they're going to be more effective, they're going to be more efficient in their jobs. So at risk of kissing up a little bit, the city officials in this city have taken very good care of the police department and public safety in general, in my opinion. And again, I've only been here 60 days. Maybe they'll change my mind later. I don't think they will, but very well equipped and very well motivated. So that speaks a lot for the men and women of the Columbia Police Department who are out there doing what they can to protect the citizens of this city every day.
Thank you.